What's the deal with this morning's gospel reading? You know, the kingdom of heaven is like a half of a bridal party that gets shut out of the wedding feast, rejected because they weren't prepared for the bridegroom to be delayed. I would fully expect this to be a story that Jesus sets up to say, the world is like this sometimes, but the kingdom of heaven is like this way. Where's the grace in this story? Where's the assertion that those who have ought to be sharing with those who don't have? You know, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like? What are you trying to tell us here, Jesus? This passage from Matthew's gospel, it comes in the midst of a series of stories, of parables that Jesus is telling his disciples, warning his followers to be prepared for future judgment. But we know that our faith is both looking towards the future, but also fixed on our present here and now. You know, Matthew's gospel, it talks about this future sorting that will happen at some point down the road. But it also makes a point of saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is at work here and now and calling us to be attentive to it. I find myself wondering, in the midst of this gospel passage, in the midst of the story of the bridesmaids, just what exactly is Jesus telling his followers then? What are we hearing God tell us today in our lives? You know, this passage where Jesus is urging his disciples to live in a way that they would experience the kingdom of heaven, you know, noting that it is important to be focused on how our actions affect ourselves here and now, but also down the road. And yet in the midst of this, I think it's worth noting that Jesus' description of these bridesmaids isn't the righteous and the unrighteous. I think Jesus chose wise and foolish for a reason. Now, I don't think that what Jesus is doing here is saying up that there are five of these bridesmaids who were right with God and five who were not. I don't believe what we're hearing is that it was a righteous act to choose to bring this extra oil or an unrighteous act to fail to do so. You know, it was a difference in living in a way that set themselves up for success in walking with one another and being in relationship to the bridegroom and to each other. Wisdom and foolishness. And so in hearing this passage now, listening for how God's word is yet speaking to us here today, I can't help but hear Christ urging me to kind of do a little bit of reflection, to check myself and ask the question, am I living in ways that are wise? Am I living in ways that set myself up for living well in relationship to God and to the people around me? Am I making choices that keep me in proper relationship so I might experience the fullness of the kingdom of heaven here today? Now I hear God reminding us in this gospel passage of the ways that our own foolishness can be a stumbling block for ourselves, of how I can get in my own way of experiencing the joy of the wedding feast. Perhaps it would be helpful if I, like, tie this to a specific example or two that has leapt to mind for me in my own life. I'll be the first to admit, I make foolish choices when it comes to screen time. I really like living in our modern era with our laptops and our cell phones. They're pretty fun gadgets. And I take a lot of delight in playing games or reading the news or keeping up with what my friends are doing or engaging in debates or discussions and trying to keep pace with current events. And yet, I find that I have a really poor habit of letting myself get drawn in to my laptop or some activity on my cell phone right before I should be getting ready for bed. And inevitably, I find, like, oh, I'll come to bed in a little bit, darling, and I'm there clicking away well past when I know I should have gone to sleep, leaving myself poorly rested the following day. And then, you know, I get to the night, and because I stayed up the night before, my body's like, well, it's not time to go to bed yet now. And so I'm like, well, I better go on my computer again and distract myself until I am ready for bed. And the cycle continues until I get worn down and worn down. And I know I know that burning the midnight oil leaves me empty the following day. I know that this isn't a good habit to be in, that when I'm tired, when I'm not well rested, that I'm more irritable, that I'm less patient, less gracious, that it's harder for me to focus on being present with the people around me and in the moment that I am in. It's foolishness. It isn't good for me or for my relationships with others. And perhaps, as you hear this talk this morning, Jesus telling this story about the bridesmaids, the wise and the foolish, maybe there are instances in your own life that are bubbling up for you. Practices that you know get in your own way of connecting with God or with the people around you. Habits that leave you feeling separated from the party, left standing alone in the dark, wishing that the door would open up. How differently might my day today be if in that moment when I'm like, I'm just going to hop on the computer just a little bit here before bed, if I had that presence of mind to center myself and think not just about how my actions affect myself or those around me in the moment of the act, but also how it's going to affect us in the future. Here's another way that I think Jesus' story is God working to draw for myself my attention to my own foolishness that gets in my way. How often in my life do I put my own self-image or what I think are the proper expectations of how I ought to act before my relationship with God or with other people? You know, I'm not overly familiar with the wedding customs that Jesus' listeners would have been anticipating in the midst of hearing about the bridesmaids and their lamps and running out of oil. And so I don't know whether or not if those bridesmaids had decided to stay vigilant, even in the face of their lamps guttering out, how the story might have been different. You know, certainly wasn't the desired outcome. You know, they were there with those lamps and meant to have them lit. But if they had prioritized being present over being proper, how might have the story gone differently? And though I don't know exactly how that would have changed within the context of their time, I can see in my own life times where I have silenced myself or pulled back and distanced myself from the people around me in order to maintain a self-image that I have prioritized, or in order to maintain some form of social expectation of what is the right custom of making sure that I have what I need or I'm following the line. Times where I've opted to avoid acting or speaking in ways that might reveal my ignorance or my lack and make me seem a fool. And so I have chosen instead to remain in my ignorance and stay a fool. There's a lot of examples of that, really. But one short one that I think about every couple of weeks because we have confirmation meeting again. And so on confirmation, it's very easy for me to remember how it wasn't that long ago, longer every year, I suppose, but wasn't that long ago that I was in their shoes. And I can remember that when I was in confirmation, I was one of those kids that was like the smart one, the like, whatever they asked was like, I know the answer to that, I know the answer to that. Which maybe isn't surprising to you as you see me up here being a vicar and all. But there was one time in the midst of us going through our lesson that week where we were focusing on a passage in John. You may have heard it before. It's in John 14 where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And I heard that and it kind of struck me. It caught me and I said, I was like, that's kind of weird. Because like, Jesus was a guy. He lived in a certain historical setting, in a place and time, and there's lots of people who lived before he did or lived in different parts of the world than he did. And if the only way to get to God is through Jesus, what does that say for all those other people? And it rocked me. I was like, I don't know what to do with that. But the teacher's like, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And everyone around me just kind of smiled and nodded. It was like, yep, that sounds good. And we moved on. And I was like, is no one else perplexed by this? And so I didn't say anything. It's like, I don't want to let, like, I'm the smart kid, right? Like, I'm the one who gets stuff. I don't want to open my mouth and show them that I don't get it. So I sat on it. I didn't say anything. And, you know, looking back on that, I think about how we as a group, not just me, but everyone in that room, may have missed out on the rich opportunity for conversation that would have come if I was willing to step into that uncertainty, to reveal that momentary foolishness in a desire for gaining the wisdom that others might share with me in that moment. You know, how often do we let the fear of what others might think about us or our own desire to create this perception of who we are for others separate us from the relationships and the opportunities around us? How often do we slam that door in our own faces? And if you're wondering in this moment, Joe, you can't open up a can of worms like that and then just not talk about it. What are you going to do with that John passage? Well, we have Bible study coming up this Tuesday at 7 p.m. and I will see you there. I was so afraid of looking like a fool that I turned away from that opportunity for deeper conversation, for learning in that moment. You know, it's a little bit like that saying, you know, that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Or like if you're worried, like if you're trying to learn a new language and it's coming difficult to you and you're like, I'm stumbling over my words. I don't want people to think I don't know this language. So then you just choose to never even try and learn it. Well, then of course you don't know that language. Or if you're saying, well, I don't want to risk stumbling and tripping, like that seems like a really rotten thing. So who needs this walking and running stuff? I'm just going to stick with crawling. That's nice and safe. Keeps me right low to the ground. Like, yeah, maybe, but you're missing out on the fullness of the experience you could have if you were willing to jump out there a little bit. God wants us to experience the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, friends. God desires that we join in and be a part of the wedding feast. And I wonder if this story this morning is Jesus urging his followers to keep watch at how we're living our lives now, the choices that we're making, the habits that we're forming, being mindful of the ways that these affect ourselves and the people around us, not just in that moment, but also down the road. And I think I see, too, in this passage, the way that Jesus is reminding his followers to not just be mindful about their own actions, but also to be attentive and keep watch for the ways that God has been and is continuing to move in their lives and in their world. To not miss out on what God is up to. Because how good is it to know in the midst of talk of the wise and the foolish, to know that God's love claims both. And I say that because if we read around this passage, we see that Jesus is telling this story to his disciples. You know, those same folks who again and again missed the boat on the meaning of what Jesus is trying to teach in his parable, saying, are you saying this? You got to unpack that for me a little more, Jesus. You know, these same disciples who, even though Jesus told them again and again and again that the trip to Jerusalem would lead to his own death, that they were caught asleep, unawares and unprepared for Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. That these were Jesus' followers who, in the hardest moments, denied him and abandoned him to the world. These close friends of Jesus, who even after his resurrection, even after Easter Sunday, when they left Jerusalem, went to Galilee and saw Jesus there, Matthew tells us that some of them doubted. God chose these wise and foolish disciples to found the church and trusted them with the care of Jesus' ministry and mission to share the good news of his life, death, and resurrection to all the world. To go out and spread God's love in both word and deed. And so too does God choose us. In the midst of our own wisest, best moments and most foolish moments. Not because of who we are, but because of God's great love for us. And God assures us that in the midst of any fear or worry that we might have about how we will stand at that point in the future, that we don't need to worry because we stand before God robed in Christ's righteousness. That is, Christ's righteousness and grace that covers us and makes us right before God. And so we have been invited to be a part of the celebration. Welcome to be a part of the experience of God's presence in our lives and in our community. And Jesus reminds us this morning to keep awake, pay attention, be mindful, avoid slamming that door closed on ourselves, blocking us from experiencing that wedding feast, and watch for other opportunities where we can open the door for others, inviting them to experience God's love in their lives and in this world. So watch closely. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen.